live from the Goggin Cold Hall Studios.
30 seconds.
And now the act you've all been waiting for.
Now back to the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show.
I am the smartest man alive.
Call Johnny now at 844-5600.
Funny name for a guy.
20 years of sports coverage. This is Nashville's sports original.
Stop what you're doing. And listen,
WNSR 560 on 95.9 FM.
Here's Johnny.
Thunderstick.
And welcome to hour number two. Johnny Ballpark Franks with you. Zach Williams in the Goggin Cole Hall Studios. The coldest team in town with great wages and benefits for drivers to join their winning team. For more information, you can go to their website, GogginCold.com. Coming up around 5:35, Marty O'Malley, Executive Director of Larch Mobile. Coming up on Thursday, the 26th Annual College Football Preview Dinner, except this year a little bit different. There'll be no dinner, not unless you bring your own dinner to the mix, to your computer, and watch it from a virtual standpoint. But it should be interesting viewing, a chance to hear from coaches like Jeremy Pruitt, Nick Saban, Gus Malzahn, and other sports figures across the land. Clay Helton, head coach of USC, he'll be a part of the hour-and-a-half presentation, too. That's coming up on Thursday. We'll get more information, like I said, around 5:35 from Marty O'Malley. But right now, a weekly visit with Barrett Salee, not only national writer with CBSSports.com, he is a co-host on the radio show on SiriusXM, College Sports Channel 84 as well. Barrett, thank you. Hope you had a nice weekend, and welcome back.
Thanks for having me, Johnny.
You know, it's interesting, we had a chance to visit with the voice of Oklahoma last week, Toby Rowland, and I was thinking, how cool would it have been, instead of going to Maryland, that Talia Tagovailoa had decided to transfer to Oklahoma instead of Maryland to get back-to-back, Alabama transfers at one after the other as far as Jalen Hurts and then Talia.
That would have been fun. I would say that Talia has a little bit less of a track record as the other three, although Kyler Murray didn't exactly do an awful lot at Texas A&M. At least he did something at Texas A&M. So, that would have been interesting, though, to see what would have happened and if Lincoln Riley could sprinkle his magic pixie dust on another transfer quarterback. I'm interested to see if he could sprinkle his pixie dust on Spencer Rattler, because Spencer is a talented kid, but I think he's really raw, and I don't necessarily think he's got his head screwed on completely straight. So this will be his toughest challenge, I think, no doubt.
Bryce Young at Alabama, is he when he wraps up his career, whether it's 3 years or 4 years at Alabama, will we look at him as a better quarterback than the one that just left in Tua?
No, that is almost an impossible bar to reach. I think he's going to be a fantastic player. I think he's going to potentially be a Heisman Trophy winner or a candidate. But no, I think to be better than Tua, even though Tua didn't win a Heisman, it would be almost impossible. I mean, it would be almost impossible for that to happen. So as you know, even though Tua's career was, I wouldn't say it was clouded. It was odd. It was an odd career that came to a sad end. So from that perspective, yeah, Bryce's might be different, but more successful, better. I have a hard time figuring out a way where that would happen.
I know we have you on primarily to talk college football week in and week out throughout the year, but we weigh in on a lot of other things. I know you're a huge Braves fan. But I'm interested to get your take on, I know that one of your tweets today included, wanting Major League Baseball and the Players Association to get their act together. Another one, you had a take on the NHL announcing, their 2014 playoffs, so no more regular season, let's go to the playoffs when everybody's ready. How much do you think college football and the NFL, how much are they going to be paying attention to these other leagues and their ability to get started and how they get started as far as operations?
I think the operational part is going to be interesting, and that's the part that they're going to pay attention to because, obviously there's going to have to be a spring training, and obviously the NHL stated today that there's more or less, a training camp, so to speak. And when you know basketball comes back, I would imagine they have something similar. So you can't take this much time off and just jump right back in. So I think from that aspect of it, they're going to pay a little some attention to it. But I mean, for football in general, and the NFL and college in particular, you know, it's you can't really take your cues from anybody else. You can sort of figure out from a structure standpoint, you know, what you think needs to happen. And if, you know, if it doesn't work for basketball or hockey or baseball and those players aren't ready under a certain specific timeline, then okay, maybe, yeah, you take a little information from that. But they're just so different. Football is just so different from the others that I can't imagine them taking too much out of the training aspect of it. I think what they will do is take a lot out of the way fans are allowed in, ticket sales and things of that nature. Because I would imagine, even though the NHL said it's going to be without fans, more of a guideline than a rule. I think for everybody involved, that's true of life in general now. You know, if they do start allowing fans in any of these sports, then I think that's where football can really learn some things.
Barrett Salee joining us on Friday in the conference call. The SEC votes on voluntary workouts beginning on June 8th, and so we have that. I know Oklahoma earlier today has set to reopen football facilities for voluntary workouts beginning July 1st. A lot of these moving targets. I threw this out earlier and want to get your thoughts on this. I had Ryan Callahan on with Go Balls 24/7. And we were talking about, all right, let's just say a student-athlete tests positive for COVID-19. And what if there's not just one? What if there's a handful? How much of this information is going to get to you, me, to the general public?
Well, by law, none of it.
See, that's where I'm going with that. That's exactly why I brought it up.
Yeah, and so obviously it needs to happen within, you know, the football complex. Yeah, that's... HIPAA's, you know, obviously protects the information, but, you know, there's a limit to it. I mean, if you have, you know, exposure, you have exposure. So, you know, legally none of it. I think, though, it gets a little murky. Yeah, let's just say, you know, TCU is playing Oklahoma and a TCU player comes down with COVID, you know, the day or two after they played in Oklahoma. Well, then Oklahoma's going to have to know about it. And then, you know, everybody else who's been around that player in games prior is going to have to know about it because of the incubation period. So, yeah, I mean, that's going to be a tricky part, you know, because you're going to basically have to waive part anyway of your HIPAA obligations. But I think the way to do that, though, is to say, all right, look, you know, injury reports already violate HIPAA laws. You know, having a hamstring injury or a torn ACL or being listed on an injury report, which a lot of schools issue, that technically is a violation of HIPAA too. So
right.
You just sort of have to, I would imagine, weave COVID into that, so to speak, and however that is allowed, which I believe is a waiver that you signed before the season. It would kind of have to be, I would imagine, have to be blended into that, so to speak. I don't really know how to do that from a legal perspective because I'm only an amateur lawyer, not a professional one, but yeah, I would imagine that has to be, you know, there has to be a way similar to that to allow information to flow between schools and, you know, so they know what players and what programs are at risk.
You know, these are times that nobody has gone through, and so because of it, I'm curious, is the possibility, and I haven't seen it discussed anywhere, where we could have, you know, 3/5 of the country acting on, say, a September or October to January, you know, as far as how the football schedule plays out, and we could have other parts of the country that begins in January. Is that even a possibility?
I don't see how that's possible. I don't see how any conference commissioner or president or AE would be for something like that because it would have lingering effects throughout not just this season, but, you know, multiple seasons because you would have obviously an illegitimate national champion on both sides, so to speak. But if you're playing in the spring and other conferences or parts of the country are playing in the fall, then how do you get back on the fall calendar if you play this spring? You know, you would do a disservice to your future programs in practice and to have limited workout time and all that other stuff. So I just can't see how that would work. You know, I think it'd be all or nothing for fall or for spring. And even though, you know, states are, and local health officials are making the decisions nowadays, you know, the sport aspect of it would have to sort of become universal for college football's sake, because, you know, if you don't, then you're going to do some damage and there's going to be massive unintended consequences.
Well, but the other part of it, too, if you're talking about, you know, if 40% or anywhere from 30 to 40% of the country can't play football as scheduled with everybody else, and you end up losing football, you know, think about those alternatives too and what that would mean from a financial impact of these athletic programs. So that's why I bring it up, because and
if,
so
if there's a threat that the whole thing gets canceled, then I mean, they're going to go it alone. But I mean, I don't see how that could, I don't see how anybody could make that decision about the fall based on the way, you know, we're sort of trending in terms of you know, not flattening the curve, you know, going down the slope of the curve now. So I mean, if that looks like it's if there's a situation where, you know, you can make that decision in a timely manner and come to the conclusion that the Pac-12 can't play this spring, or the Big Ten, or fall, the Big Ten can't play this fall, whatever, then you're going to have to go it alone, I would imagine. But that just doesn't seem realistic based on the way, you know, the progress of COVID has sort of gone over the last, you know, few weeks.
And we look at this situation too, and I mean, I know the contracts are already out there as far as TV contracts are concerned, but if we are talking about football stadiums with either no fans or limited fans in the stadium, I wonder if there's a one-time deal, knowing, I mean, these networks would know that their viewership would certainly be drastically increased. If there's a way for 1 year only to help negotiate a new contract for 1 year with these different conferences.
Well, I mean, I think that would certainly be, it should be at play anyway. I doubt the TV execs would like that all that much, but,
right.
You know, they could sell it. So, you know, if they feel like the risk is worth the reward, then they could do it. But, I think if the conferences and schools demand that, to me, it would suggest that the financial downturn in terms of college athletics is going to be really, really painful. We've already seen that it is at the Group of Five level. We have not seen that at the Power Five level. But if you start to see it, then to me, that would show desperation more than anything else. Because, you know, the product would be more valuable, there's no doubt. But, you know, I don't see them pushing that aspect of it unless there really is, you know, that they really are in dire financial straits.
Right now, you know, and I don't know if it changes if we're talking September to October start or whatever the case may be, is there a couple of teams that you're paying attention to that you feel like could be those nice surprises for the upcoming season?
Oklahoma State. I think Oklahoma State is going to be really good this year. I think with the returning starters that they have, with Chuba Hubbard being there, with Tylan Wallace being there, with, you know, I think four of their five offensive linemen come back, I think Oklahoma State's going to be really, really solid. I think they're if they don't play in the Big 12 championship game, I would be moderately shocked. You know, so I think that's going to be a fun one to look out for. I think Arizona State's one to keep an eye on, too. They return a lot of starters, and Jaden Daniels was awesome last year. And, you know, I just said returning starters twice, and I absolutely hate doing that in the offseason because Phil Steele does that, and sometimes those starters just aren't very good. But in an offseason that didn't have spring practice and didn't have offseason conditioning and really might not start on time and might have condensed fall camp, having returning starters who are grown adults who have been in strength and conditioning programs for a while, probably going to be more beneficial than it has been in years past.
Well, I certainly won't. And look, I'm like you. When I start thinking about the best teams in the country as far as previewing an upcoming season, I do look at returning starters. But I look primarily, when I throw that out there, I'm looking at the, like, an offensive line, for example. Not just the fact that they started last year. I want to see how many starts they have, like, in their careers. So are we talking about one-year starters? Are we talking about, like you said, individuals that have been inside that program and the strength program for several years, where it really truly does mean something if you're talking about everybody across the board, at least 2 years of starting time under their belts? But I'm like you. I think first and foremost, you could have a nice returning quarterback, nice receivers. But if you have a brand new offensive line, that doesn't mean a lot until I see it on paper. I mean, see it in actual ball games.
Offensive line is the perfect example, because if you have five offensive linemen returning, but you didn't really play well last year, you're probably not going to play well this year. That's just in general. But I'd take that over an offensive line that is raw but talented but has four open slots. I would take five guys who I know I can trust to at least, you know, function within an offense. And it also works with quarterbacks and receivers. Right now, if you're looking at some of those teams that might jump off the page, I think a team like Minnesota with Tanner Morgan, they lost their top receiver, but I think the top three behind him are back, including a 1,000-yard receiver. I don't think Tanner Morgan's great. I think he's good, and I think that receiving core is good. So I'd much rather go with them to win, the Big Ten West or whatever, versus a team, that has, a lot of holes and a lot of talent, but, inexperienced. I just think that you're going to have that come into play more this year than you have in your set.
Give me a team in the SEC West and East that could be a nice surprise for the upcoming season as well. I mean, we know Alabama, LSU, but is there a team in the West? Is Tennessee that team in the East, or is it another one?
Well, in the West, I don't think you're going to get much of that. I think it's going to be pretty chalky based on what what I see. And we did our predictions based on records, and I had Alabama, Auburn, and LSU at 10-2 or 9-3. So beyond that, I just don't see any of those teams really contenders at all outside of those three in Alabama. In the East, I think Florida's going to win the East, but I think Tennessee's going to be 9-3. I think Tennessee, again, better offensive line, good playmakers that are established. Confidence after what happened last year, that matters more this year than it does, it has in years past. So, I think Tennessee, maybe not going to contend for the East, but will at least be in the discussion for a little while and might spring an upset.
Barrett, always a pleasure. Do me a favor, too. Let our listeners know once again the best ways to keep up with all your coverage.
Yeah, follow me on Twitter at Barrett Salee, Instagram at Barrett_Salee. Download the CBS Sports app. Listen to or watch CBS Sports HQ for free. And listen to SiriusXM as well.
Hey, we appreciate you, buddy. Have a great week. We'll talk soon.
Thanks, Johnny. You too.
All right, that's Barrett Salee. Once again, national writer with CBSSports.com. He's also a co-host on SiriusXM College Sports Channel 84. If you'd like to be a part of the show, 615-844-5600. Open segment coming up. Still coming up this hour, Marty O'Malley, Executive Director of Larch Mobile. Coming up on Thursday, a special college football. It was supposed to be a dinner. There's supposed to have been the 26th annual dinner. Well, they're doing a virtual dinner, per se, open for everyone to log in and check it out. A 90-minute college football preview. You'll be hearing from various coaches across the country, including Jeremy Pruitt from Tennessee, Nick Saban from Bama, Gus Malzahn from Auburn, Reese Davis. I mean, the list goes on and on and on of coaches, of individuals associated with college football, and more. But we'll get more information from Marty O'Malley a little bit later this hour. This segment brought to you by Brinkman's Wine and Spirits in Brentwood. Whether it's curbside, inside, or homeside with delivery, Brinkman's still available for all your wine and spirit needs. Now, you can stop by and have your order brought to your car, or you can still come in and browse. Plus, don't forget, still doing this as well, for orders of $50 or more, they will deliver to your home. All you have to do is give them a call, 615-678-6585. That's 678-6585. Owner Tim Brinkman and the staff at Brinkman's dedicated to making you feel welcomed and appreciated with their personal service. They want to make you happy. So whether picking up a bottle of wine for dinner, celebrating a special occasion, or even looking for help to restock your bar at home, they're there for all of your needs, from whiskey to vodka, champagne to Cabernet. So make sure you like their Facebook page at Bringman's Wine and Spirits. They're open Monday through Saturday from 10 to 7, Sundays by appointment. They're located inside the Brentwood House Shopping Plaza at 127 Franklin Road by Baskin-Robbins and Honey Baked Ham. Inside, curbside, homeside, shop local, shop Brinkman's.
Good afternoon. They're still working that crash over in Bordeaux and Ashland City Highway at Drake's Branch Road. That's still got traffic tied up in that area. Still a little bit heavy here on 24 westbound up by Ellington Parkway. It's heavy, but it's moving 65 up through Madison as you make your way past OHB. If your glasses get dirty and fog up, the answer is Zipwax Anti-Fog Cleaner, voted best product under $20. Log on to ZipwaxAntifogCleaner.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
Hello, I'm Tom Hodges of Goggin Cold Hall, a regional refrigerated company that operates within a 500-mile radius of our home in Smyrna, Tennessee. We're seeking professional drivers to join our family-owned business. Our number one priority of serving our customers is by taking care of our employees first. With a $1,000 sign-on bonus plus a driver referral program, Goggin Cold Hall offers an excellent benefit package with a 401k retirement plan, paid vacations and holidays, insurance options, and a competitive pay structure that includes weekly, monthly, and quarterly bonuses. No Northeast travel, no touch freight, and with our late model Freightliner and Kenworth equipment, we promise to treat you in a first-class manner. If you're interested in joining our family at Goggin Cold Hall, please visit www.goggincold.com. That's www.goggincold.com or call us at 931-225-3873. That's Goggin Cold Hall, the coldest team in town.
What happens to your decision-making when you drink? Well, after one drink, you feel confident. A few more, and calling your ex at 1 a.m. seems like a great idea. And you're pretty sure the secret to a great taco is four-day-old macaroni. The bottom line, drunk you doesn't make great decisions. So you're risking a DUI or worse if you count on him to get you home. Plan before you party. Get home safe. Paid for by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office.
The Southern Air Market combines the hospitality of a New Orleans-style neighborhood grocery with the convenience of a New York City bodega to cater to the needs of downtown Nashville residents and visitors. Located in the Pinnacle Building on Demumbrian and 2nd Avenue next to its sister property, the Southern Steak and Oyster, the Southern Air Market is the first of its kind in the burgeoning SoBro neighborhood. Drop by to choose from shelves stocked with locally sourced sundry goods and produce. A butcher counter full of fresh meat and seafood, French-pressed coffee, made-to-order paninis, and a bevy of craft brews by the bottle. Don't want to leave the house or office? We also deliver at the Southern Air. Find us on DeliveryDudes.com and OrderUp.com. The Southern Air Market is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 5:30 p.m., and Sundays from noon to 5:30. To learn more, visit SouthernAirMarket.com or call 615-490-8077.
He's back and we've got him. The George Plaster Show.
To former Tennessee Titans head coach Jeff Fisher.
Bud wouldn't pay to have a divider put up in the trailer to where we could divide up offense and defense. So we would send the offense next door. Oh, by the way, they shared a building with a pediatrician and a daycare. So
live, local, George Plaster. Weekdays starting at 2 on WNSR, Nashville Sports Radio.
Listen live online to the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show at WNSR.com.
Welcome back, Johnny Ballpark Franks. We do Zach Williams in the Goggin Cold Hall Studios, 615-844-5600 if you'd like to be a part of the show. A lot of college football chat today. I saw this interesting article. It was on ESPN by Bill Conley, staff writer with ESPN. And, you know, and we've, especially during college football season, but, you know, over the course of time, and certainly with what we've been going through for the past couple of months, you know, chance to reflect on great teams. I know, for example, with ESPN, they had the Last Dance series with Michael Jordan about his time with the Bulls, and the Last Dance being that last go-around for a chance to win another NBA title. But this particular article today was about the top college football teams that failed to win the national championship. And as you would expect, there's certainly some SEC flavor on this list. The very first one, number one on this list, and they ranked them 1 to 25. Number one list on the list was an Ole Miss team back in 59 that went 10-1. They only lost to LSU, and that was it. But they went through a stretch there, 38-5-1 from 58 to 1961. Their problem is they've always had struggles with LSU, 0-3-1, and it kind of sets up, you know, as far as number two and three on this list, back-to-back seasons for Oklahoma, 11-1. There was a three-year stretch, Zach, that Oklahoma from 85 to 87, this was when you go back to the Barry Switzer days, they were 33-3, and, you know, the big rivalry for them to the Texas Longhorns. They beat them by an average of 35-9 during that stretch, won 21 straight Big Eight conference games, and they won these games by an average of 40-6. So they were annihilating everybody, but the problem was the fact that they kept getting stuck and getting beat by the Hurricanes each and every one of those years. You know, when you think about Oklahoma and the success of their program, you know, I go back to, you know, Florida State under Bobby Bowden, where Miami cost the Florida State Seminoles two or three national titles during that stretch when Miami really started getting things going in the late 80s throughout the 90s.
So that was the number one team is what they said?
Number one was that Ole Miss team of 1959.
That's so strange to me. Saying the 1950, like what was the parameters, like the entire college football history?
You know, it's you take that. You could have gone any way you wanted with it, but it's certainly more relevant when we can start tying things together. Like, for example, we had Mike Rozier on, Heisman Trophy winner from 83, and a Nebraska team that was undefeated, blowing out everybody. I mean, they beat Minnesota. Here's some of the scores that Nebraska beat teams in 83. They beat Minnesota 84-13, Syracuse 63-7. They put 69 points on Colorado, 72 against Iowa State. I mean, these are basketball scores. They scored 67 against Kansas, and it really came, you know, Mike Rozier gets injured there in the first half, and it came down to, you know, if Nebraska and Tom Osborne, if they kicks the extra point, the game is ends up in a tie. And Nebraska is still unblemished. They would have been 12-0-1, and they still would have won the national title. Instead, they go for two. It fails. They get the loss. And so, to me, that team would probably – I would jump that team over those Oklahoma teams and Ole Miss even. I would probably put that team at number one just because of how dominating they were, especially on offense.
Yeah, I don't know. I look at it differently, I guess, because I just think, you know, I would take that team and – put them against last year's MTSU team.
Right.
they would get destroyed.
It's tough to when you start comparing players from different decades and teams from different decades. I will say this, you know, they brought in, like last year, they had a number five on this list, the team that did not win a national title, but a very solid team, the 2019 Ohio State team, the team that, you know, had the controversial game against Clemson. They lose in the semifinals 29-23. And so they had Ohio State at number five on this list.
Yeah, those lists. That's always strange to me how they figure that out to say this team from way back when. It's like, yeah, they were a great team because they had like five guys who could run a 440 in under five. You know, everybody else was still running in the six, and they weren't playing like normal competition. It was so new. So I feel like there's got to be some sort of asterisk put next to that kind of stuff.
Well, here's a good example. The number eight, the 2018 Alabama team, 14-1. But remember, they get beat 44-16 by Clemson in the national title game, and that was really a game where, once again, it was a staff that, you know, in the off season, Nick Saban went with better recruiters, and you can certainly make the case in that national title game that Alabama got out coached by Dabo Sweeney and his staff. You know, I understand that although Bama has won five national championships under Nick Saban, really two of his better teams, 2016, one that was the game, the Bama team that lost in that next to last play of the game when Clemson scores after Bama had taken the lead with a couple minutes to go. But 2016 and 2018, certainly two of Alabama's best teams ever, yet nothing to show for it as far as national titles.
When is too recent to talk? Like, so if we're saying like being good in the modern era, when is that start, and when does your history of winning and things like that stop for a team, especially in college?
Well, I mean, do we do it by the BCS system, or do we do it by the college football playoff era where we have the four teams, like starting in 2014? I mean, do you break it down? I mean, you know, Bobby Bowden, he has said this a couple of times on, you know, when I've had him on the show, where he would be glad to get back the two national titles for a chance to play for the nine national championships he would have been able to play for and with the college football playoff. And so it's, you know, maybe you do it that way. Because certainly everything has changed when we have the Power Five conferences going to that extra game as far as, you know, their conference championship games. One of the teams they have listed on here was the 66 Alabama team that, remember, they were back-to-back national champs in 64 and 65. They go undefeated in 1966, and yet they finished third in the country. Yeah. So, I mean, see, we wouldn't see that today.
No.
I mean, if LSU wins back-to-back national titles, now we won't see it because of this college football playoff. But back then, it was polls deciding. I mean, Penn State, there's two Penn State teams, 69 and 94. They were a combined 23-0, two unbeaten seasons, and no national titles to show for it because we didn't have the BCS and we didn't have the, you know, the college football playoff. So I think the college football playoff changes everything now. And, yeah, you always have those gripes, the teams that at number five wishing they were at least having a chance to play for it. But, you know, if you don't like the position you're in, you know, you should have won that game that you lost, for example.
True, unless you're UCF and you win those games, you still didn't get in.
Well, I mean, realistically, do you believe that Central Florida was one of the four best teams?
That one year, I'm forgetting which year it was, though. You have to remind me, but I'm forgetting.
It was the year, that would have been 2017.
Yeah, with Shaquem Griffin.
But here's the problem with that. I mean, yeah, they beat Auburn in the bowl game, and I get that. But Auburn wanted to be. I mean, remember Auburn? If they had finished their business and beat Georgia for the second time in the SEC title game, Auburn would have been a college football playoff team. And because that did not happen, their consolation prize is, oh, by the way, they have to play Central Florida. It's always tough. I mean, I know that it would be easy to say, okay, you're getting up because it's the next game. A lot of those guys just don't want to be there.
I think because you have a playoff, though, and in that situation, even though now we're in sports talk radio 4 years ago, but, you know, I feel like that it could have – you at least got to give them a chance. They win all those games. They're not just winning. They're dominating, right, the entire season, given their schedule. Yes, I understand that. But if you make it a playoff and you're trying to change it from the BCS where it's not all this dividend points that are going so far in and you're trying to make an actual playoff situation here, why don't you give a team like that a chance? Because isn't that the point of making it a playoff to where you're saying, okay, we're eliminating that the top five conferences have to be the only ones that we see in these playoffs, but that's really the only ones we've seen in these playoffs.
The other thing, too, he had, like, for example, at 24, he had the 2011 LSU team. Now, I don't mind the teams on this list, but to me, that particular team, remember, they beat Alabama in Tuscaloosa. Yeah, it took overtime, but they beat Alabama. If you look at the year-end rankings, Oregon was fourth, Arkansas fifth, LSU beat them all. LSU also beat 17th-ranked West Virginia and 19th-ranked Georgia. And so when I look at all of that, to me, that team should be a top-five team as far as teams that should have won the national title, because they never should have been in a position where, especially in the BCS system, where they had to all of a sudden have to beat Alabama again to win the national title. But because of, you know, some late-season losses, Alabama found themselves back in position to be the number two team that year. And when they had the rematch in the Sugar Bowl, Bama wins 21-0. But in You know, I always felt like that particular year, whoever won that regular season game, especially under that old system with the BCS, they never should have had to face that same team again for a national title.
I know. I remember hearing all those arguments. Actually, I remember the 2011 season specifically, just because that was a thing that's not around anymore. I mean, it's modified just like the playoffs have, but
right.
People in the bars complaining about the BCS system, and I'll never forget the first time when I was in Chattanooga, I heard someone complaining about this very topic. Just kind of sent me back.
Well, the BCS system was better than what we had before when humans are deciding the national title, but certainly a 4-team playoff is much better than what we're getting with the BCS. Now, it is an extra layer. Do we always get the true national champion? No. Anytime you start adding layers, just like when we started adding layers to the men's and women's basketball tournament, especially on the men's side, you know, you don't necessarily any chance that you have for another weekend of play where you've got to get two extra wins during the course of that, you know, March Madness, it obviously what happens? It increases the chances for upsets. So we don't always get the best team winning a national championship. Sometimes we do. Sometimes it's just the hottest team over a two-game span.
Would an 8-team playoff, though, kind of alleviate more of those problems of what people think that it's too narrowed down for a 4-team?
I think it waters it down, and especially when we look at you would have 3-loss teams last year, for example. A 3-loss team, I mean, you would have had like multiple 3-loss teams if you had an 8-team playoff this past season. And to me, and it'd be different if you're talking NFL. We're used to teams with 9-7 records and making a run for a Super Bowl, for example. I think it's entirely different when we look at it from a college football standpoint. Don't really think a 3-loss team is really one of the best teams in the country.
But would that say, like, the 9th team, the team who didn't get in?
Always have an argument for the team that gets left.
Well, I'm going to say, would they have more weight, though, than how you could say the 5th team in the country would be? Would they have more weight just because, like, in that same kind of argument? I mean, people are going to make the argument no matter what, but do you think they would have the same weight of an argument that you could say, well, yeah, you were 9th, though. I mean, come on, there's 8 teams in now. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying?
But you will always still be, you know, y'all. It's just like the Pac-12. The Pac-12 gripes because we play 9 conference games. The SEC only plays 8, and I'm thinking to myself, how many good teams are in the Pac-12 year in and year out? you should be. And then usually in their 3 non-conference games, although this year we will get some better non-conference matchups if everything plays out as far as Pac-12 teams are concerned. But usually the Pac-12 weak non-conference schedule and, you know, a 6-6 team in the Pac-12 is like an 8-4 team in the SEC. Or no, the way around. An 8-4 team in the Pac-12 is like a 6-6 team in the SEC.
Yeah, it's bad out there.
Hey, coming up on the other side, this will be fun. Coming up on Thursday night, should have been a dinner. It can't with COVID-19, but it's going to be a virtual dinner per se. Marty O'Malley joins us. He's with Larch Mobile. This will be the 26th annual event that they have had as far as college football preview, except this year, the first time they've had to do it this way, it's going to be a virtual dinner. We'll be visiting with Marty on the other side. You're listening to Nashville Sports Radio.
Well, good afternoon. Still running heavy and slow here at times. 24 westbound here up by Ellington Parkway. There's a crash 5400 block of Edmondson Pike, South Nashville, getting some attention. They're still out there with that 2-car collision on Ashland City Highway at Drake's Branch Road. That's over in Bordeaux. Hey, Bars Music City Soul Food is now open behind the Bank of America on Nolensville Pike at OHB. Order online, barsmusiccitysoulfood.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
The good folks at Sir Speedy of Music City are back on our show. James Warren, talk to me.
Hey, George, as we see businesses prepare to reopen, we're seeing them focus on employees and guest protection just as much as on making a profit and being back to normal. That's typical of this caring city and all of Tennessee. So we decided to use the materials that we use for signs to make acrylic shields, barriers, face guards, and floor graphics for safe distancing. Even throwing in some fun by putting logos on face masks and that kind of thing. That said, we're doing this for nationwide hotels, restaurants, as well as local businesses with 2 employees. Everyone is treated the same. We come measure, listen. We want to be good to our community and our customers, so we're pledging 5% of the profits of all PPE orders in May and June to local food banks. you can trust the Sir Speedy Music City team for all your reopening needs.
That's absolutely true. You dial them up at 615-832-9511 or go on their website, SirSpeedyMusicCity.com.
My doctor prescribed me Viagra. It wasn't covered by my insurance, so it was costing me like $65 a pill. That's expensive.
Over 20 million guys like us use Viagra. Over a certain age, we just need it. I found a way to pay less than $3 a pill and get virtually the same effect of the $65 pill. I heard an ad just like this on the radio called, and for $99, I got 40 generic versions of the $65 pill. Save yourself money and call right now and get over 40 pills for $99. There's no embarrassment here to use Viagra. If we're over 50, we need it, but not at high prices. Call now with your credit card and get the 40 pill special for just $99.
800-431-9102. 800-431-9102. That's 800-431-9102.
COVID-19 is testing all of us, our communities, our economy, and our way of life. You can help Tennessee win this fight to protect you and your loved ones. Free COVID-19 testing is available at your local county health department, even if you don't have symptoms. When in doubt, get a test. To find a testing facility, please visit tn.gov/get-a-test.
Brought to you by the State of Tennessee, Tennessee Association of Broadcasters, and this station.
Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR SkyCan forecast for this afternoon. A 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy, with a high near 85. Tonight, a chance of showers and thunderstorms again, mostly cloudy, with a low around 68. And tomorrow, showers and thunderstorms likely again, mostly cloudy, with a high near 82. Utilizing the resources of the WeatherBug Network on Nashville Sports Radio, I'm WNSR's Jeff DeWitt.
Sports Radio WNSR.
This is the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show, every weekday afternoon on Nashville Sports Radio.
Welcome back, Johnny Ballpark Frank's with you. Going to the Hotline, a chance to visit with Marty O'Malley, Executive Director of Larch Mobile. You know, this was supposed to be the 26th annual college football preview dinner. Well, it'll be the 26th annual, Marty, but it's going to be a little bit different as far as the dinner part and in-person part. First of all, welcome to the show. And let's see, at what point did you realize to keep this going, it was going to be going this direction with the virtual dinner coming up on Thursday night?
Yeah, thanks, Johnny, for having me. And this, as you said, it's our 26th year, and we start planning usually in January, where we're starting to send our speakers and getting all commitments and all that, which we did. And then in early to mid-March, our committee met, and we started to question, would we be able to have the dinner or not? And so at that point, we started to look at Plan B, and we came up with this notion of we didn't want to cancel, but instead we wanted to see if we could contact a couple people in the college football world, coaches and analysts, to see if they'd be willing to reach out, do a video, and then we would broadcast it the night of our original dinner, which is May 28th. And so that's when we started. We didn't know, one, if coaches would be available and would be interested. The first person we contacted was Coach Nick Saban at Alabama, and lo and behold, he said yes. So we felt like if Coach Saban's on board, maybe others would follow suit. And so we now have 16 people, 9 head coaches, 5 in the SEC, and we got your own Coach Jeremy Pruitt as well. So we're very excited about this opportunity to continue our event and reach out to a much broader audience than we have in the past.
Did you have any, you said you got Nick Saban from the beginning. Was that a nice tool to use to get the other ones to say yes as well?
No. When we approached all the coaches and analysts, we didn't say who was and who wasn't. We just felt like we have a history with Coach Saban, and we felt like if he was willing to do it, then that might be a good sign that we could reach out to other people. So, and lo and behold, it's true. I mean, we have nine of the head coaches, and interesting enough, most of the coaches and analysts have been involved with us in the past. So, for example, Coach Pruitt came when he was an assistant coach. So he had an idea of who we were, what our mission is as an organization, and then he also knew what how the dinner was because he participated.
I like the fact, too, it's a nice mixture. I mean, Clay Helton, for example, head coach of USC. You mentioned the coaches inside the SEC with Mike Leach, Nick Saban, Gus Malzahn, Jeremy Pruitt, Kirby Smart as well. And you went outside the box, too, as far as the, you know, as far as Power Five conferences. You have the head coach from Tuskegee, for example, participating. A lot of interesting members of the media part of this as well. Has the format changed at all over the 26 years?
Yeah. So when we first started, we and to where it's been the last number of years, it's evolved. So the last probably 10 to 15 years, what we've done is we've always had an Auburn and Alabama representative since we are in Mobile in the state of Alabama. And we always try to have a head coach, maybe not necessarily from Auburn or Alabama, but from someplace. So in the past, we've had Florida State, we've had LSU, we've had Arkansas. All those head coaches have attended at some point. And then we always would have an analyst or two just to sort of change the focus. And so whenever we would approach our speakers, we would give them the time frame that they would have. And we asked them that people want to hear about college football, but then they also want to hear about how you got in coaching, why you're coaching. And so over the years, it's always been a nice mixture. Nobody is really up there that long, so in some ways you can't get bored by somebody if they are boring, because you know, most of the times they only have, you know, 8 to 10 minutes.
And looking at this list, these individuals are pretty accustomed to being, might be a different format, but pretty accustomed to being in this position to give their 5 to 10 minute speech there. Now, tell me more about Larch Mobile. I know it's a community where people with and without intellectual disabilities share life together. Tell me more about your organization.
Yeah, that's right. So we're part of an international organization, and we've been in Mobile for 45 years, and we're locally supported and run by a local board of directors. We have 25 individuals with intellectual disabilities and 60, we use the word team members or staff, who share life together. When we get involved with an individual with an intellectual disability, we make lifetime commitment. So one of our residents, his name is Willie, has been with us for 45 years. And so what we will do is we will provide for Willie until he passes. So, and that could be another 20-some years. So for us, what we try to do when an individual comes in their 20s, what we try to do is give them opportunities that you and I have taken for granted, being able to make choices, being able to be involved in the wider community by going to sporting events or art festivals. So that's what we try to do on a day-to-day basis. The football dinner was a way for us to do two things initially. One was to raise the awareness of what Larch Mobile was, and the second was to raise money.
This event, once again, coming up on Thursday night, May 28th, is from 7 to 8:30 on Thursday night. I'm assuming the best thing to do is just go to the website if you want to check in as far as this virtual dinner is concerned, and there'll be a link on your website?
Yeah, there's a couple ways. It is Central Time, so it's going to be hosted by a YouTube station. So people could go to YouTube and type in Larch Mobile. It's L-A-R-C-H-E, Mobile. They could go to our website, which is larchmobile.org, and there's a link to the YouTube connection there, or I believe you have the link as well, so I hope that you're able to put it on your website as well.
I will be glad to post that, especially on Thursday, as a reminder. I love the fact that, yeah, we're all faced with these challenges, but at the same time, you can create new opportunities, and I love the fact that despite what we're all going through with COVID-19, you found a way to, being able to continue this, and I wish you all the best of luck on Thursday night.
Well, thanks. And one of the other things that we've done is, since we're not doing a dinner, we've connected with local restaurants. And in your neck of the woods, Barton's Barbecue has agreed to offer a special that night for any participants, wherever Martin's is located. I know there's in Nashville as well as in Birmingham. We have a number of restaurants locally in Mobile as well. So people can get their dinner and tune into the YouTube on Thursday at 7 o'clock.
That's awesome. Listen, thank you for taking time out with us, and we wish you once again all the best on Thursday night.
All right. Thank you, guys. Have a good day.
You too. That's Marty O'Malley, Executive Director of Larch Mobile, the organization, once again, that works with and for those people with and without intellectual disabilities. And this is the 26th annual event, the first one done this way. And once again, Jeremy Pruitt, Nick Saban, Kirby Smart, a long list of individuals that will you'll be hearing from 5 to 10 minutes from each of these individuals, some other folks associated with college football as well. But Thursday night from 7 to 8:30, and the best thing to do, once again, go to their website and click on the link there, larchmobile.org. That's LARCHE mobile.org. Coming up, we'll wrap things up. You're listening to Nashville Sports Radio.
Well, good afternoon. Still running heavy and slow here at times. 24 westbound here up by Ellington Parkway. There's a crash 5400 block of Edmondson Pike, South Nashville, getting some attention. They're still out there with that two-car collision on Ashland City Highway at Drake's Branch Road. That's over in Bordeaux. Hey, Bars Music City Soul Food is now open behind the Bank of America on Nolensville Pike at OHB. Order online, barsmusiccitysoulfood.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
Hi, this is Jay Farner, CEO of Rocket Mortgage. Making the right financial decisions has never been more important. We can help guide you to those right decisions now, when they matter most. Mortgage rates are near historic lows. So when you call 8338-ROCKET or visit us at rocketmortgage.com to start your refinance, you'll be well on your way to saving money every month. The rate today on our 30-year fixed rate mortgage is 3.375%, APR 3.59%. Right now could be a great time for you to take some positive financial steps forward with a cash-out refinance from Rocket Mortgage, which could give you the boost that you're looking for. In addition, we may be able to help you refinance with little or no out-of-pocket costs. At Rocket Mortgage, we're committed to every client, every time, no exceptions, no excuses, giving you the best mortgage experience. Call us today at 8338-ROCKET or go to rocketmortgage.com to learn more.
Rates subject to change. Pay 1.875% fee to receive this discounted rate. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
It is an uncertain time for us all, but kids in foster care have always known an uncertain future. Now, more than ever, we see what it means to truly connect with others in a way we didn't fully appreciate through the simple little things we do. It's those little things that also make a big difference to a kid in foster care, to help them become all they were meant to be. During a time when taking care of each other is by far most important, Youth Villages Foster Care asks that you consider opening your home to these young people who are without one. To keep us all safe and healthy during this time, Youth Villages is offering virtual presentations with information to address your thoughts and questions about fostering a child. Learn how you can become a foster parent at youthvillages.org/foster. Youth Villages, foster a little hope. Brought to you by Youth Villages in cooperation with this station and the Tennessee Association of Broadcasters.
Every home has have-to-dos and probably some want-to-dos. The Home Depot can help you do both with the things you need to make things work a little better or take care of something you've been meaning to do. Maybe do something to start summer. We have the low prices to make it all doable. Order online and get free delivery on orders over $45. Whatever you need to do or want to do, we can help you get it done. The Home Depot, how doers get more done. Some delivery exclusions apply.
There are everyday actions to help prevent the spread of respiratory diseases. Wash your hands. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. Stay home when you are sick. Cover your cough or sneeze. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects with household cleaning spray. For more information, visit cdc.gov/COVID-19. This message brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Every weekday afternoon, it's the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show on Nashville Sports Radio.
Welcome back. Johnny Ballpark Frank's with you. Zach Williams in the Goggin Coal Hall Studios. Big thanks to our visitors to the show today. Ryan Callahan, he's with GoVols247.com. Also, Barrett Salee, not only national writer with CBSSports.com, he's also a co-host on SiriusXM College Sports Channel 84, talking college football. And Marty O'Malley, executive director of Larch Mobile down in South